Good morning. What a beautiful crew out there. Why don't we all just stand as we are able? Father, we just thank you so much for this time to be together. We thank you so much, Lord, that we have the opportunity to, when we praise and when we worship, we can declare out the truth and the reality of who you are. It's not just words on a page or on a screen to have something to sing, but it's reminding us, reminding the principalities and the powers of this air, and giving forth fragrance of praise and worship towards your throne, of the reality of who you are. That you're great, you're magnificent, you're holy, you're worthy, you're amazing, you're powerful, you're healer. Those 700 plus names and titles that our beloved Pastor Bill reminds us of all the time, the reality of all of who you are. And we need reminded so much. So as we give to you in praise and give to you in worship, we're also reminding and being reminded of who you are, the reality of who you are. Sometimes as we walk throughout our days, the world around us seems much more real than the supernatural reality that we're living in. As we talked about at Game On, it's a virtual reality. But the reality of who you are, the reality that you reign on high, that you're king over the earth, that you're creator, that you made us for a purpose, that you love us, that nothing can separate us from your love, that your righteousness has paid for us to enter into your presence, and all the many other realities of who you are, that there's no impossible situation with you, that you're healer, yet that you're deliverer. All of those realities are real, are the real realities. So we just lift you up today. We worship you today. We thank you, God, that we just step in wholeheartedly this morning for all that you have, all that you are. In Jesus' name. All creation cries to you, worshiping in spirit and in truth. Glory to the faithful one, Jesus Christ, God's Son. Sing that again. All creation cries to you, worshiping in spirit and in truth. Glory to the faithful one, Jesus Christ, God's Son. All creation gives you praise, you alone are truly praised. You alone are God who reigns for eternity. Yeah. God is great and his praise fills the earth, fills the heavens, and your name will be praised through all the world. God is great, sing his praise, all the earth, all the heavens, cause we're living for the glory of your name. Glory of your name. All to you, God, we pray. Jesus, teach us how to live. Let your fire burn in us, that all may hear and all may see. God is great, praise fills the earth, fills the heavens, and your name will be praised.
God is great, and His praise fills the earth, fills the heavens, and Your name will be praised through all the world. Oh, God is great, sing His praise, all the earth, all the heavens, cause we're living for the glory of Your name. God, Your praise, God, Your praise. It's for the glory of Your name. For the glory of Your name.
God, Your praise, sing Your praise, fills the earth.
earth fills the heavens, and your name will be praised through all the world. God is great, sing his praise, all the earth, all the heavens, 'cause we're living for the glory of your name. The glory of your name is why we're here. The glory of your name, it's why we sing. The glory of your name, it's why we live. For the glory of your name, it's why we sing. It's for your glory. It's for your honor. Above every plan of darkness, oh, you're above every demon in hell, you're above every lie, every impossibility, you're high above, you're high above, you are great. You are powerful. There's no one like you, God. We give you praise. We give you honor. For you are high and lifted up. You are high and lifted up. King of glory, have your glory. King of glory, have your glory. Open up the gates, open up the gates. King of glory, have your glory. Open up the gates, open up the gates. That the King of glory comes in. That the King of glory comes in. If you need King of Glory to come in today, he's here to do it. When we need King of Glory to come in our circumstances, when we need King of Glory to come in our thoughts and our minds, when we need King of Glory to come in our emotions, oh, when we need King of
of glory to come in our wills and our choices. Oh, when we need him to come in, he will. We just have to open up. We just have to open up. Open up, open up. So just speak to your soul. Open up. Your spirit's willing. Your flesh may be weak. My flesh is very weak. But my spirit is willing for the open up to occur, the open up to occur. So we sing, open up, that the King of glory may come in. Open up, that the King of glory may come in. Open up, that the King of glory may come in. Open up, that the King of glory will come in. That the King of glory will come in. Holy are you, Lord. The whole of sins. The whole of sins. Oh, holy are. Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, it's your breath. Our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you. You give life, you are love. You are love, you bring life. Our hearts will grind, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you. It's our breath in our lungs. It's your breath. We pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs.
Breath in my lungs, so I pour out.
All that is within me, Lord, will bless your holy name. I live my life to worship you alone. You brought me out of darkness and into your glorious light. Forever I will sing of your great yearn to see our nations bow their knee. It's you alone, Lord Jesus, who can cause the coldest heart to find your love and everlasting peace. To find your love. the perfect sinless one who paid the price for us. Then descended into the depths of darkness to bring back the keys of death and sin and hell. Restored us to our rightful place as sons of God, and then was seated on high, oh, at the right hand of the Father. Worthy is that God man, that King Jesus. Worthy is he, worthy are you to receive honor, worthy are you to receive power, worthy are you to receive glory now and forever, forever, forever. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Forever, forever. Oh, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered.
Just encourage you guys to keep receiving. And wherever you're at, if you could just take your elements. If you know the Lord, if you know his love for you. Just in this moment, we're worshiping him, as we're pouring our lives and our heart out to him. Lord, we declare that you are worthy. You are worthy, Lord. Because of what you sacrificed for us, what you gave up for us, Lord. Lord, that you say in your word that when we were yet sinners, you died for us. You gave each one of us a gift we don't deserve, Lord. You weren't pained to do that. You weren't frustrated to do that, Lord. Jesus, you say in your word that it was the joy set before you that you endured the cross. Lord, that joy is fellowship and relationship with you. Thank you. just have a sense this morning as we're in this place. And the Lord is highlighting to you that there are quiet moments throughout your day that He wants you to draw into His presence. We can come here, we can gather together, and it's what we're called to do. And it's a joy. But the Lord was just impressing on my heart that there's moments that each one of us has a gift of each day. And there's time in that day where the Lord specifically wants us to seek Him out individually, to spend time with Him. And we're all guilty of being too busy or distracted. But the Lord is saying and has already made a way for us to press into that place. Because there's something there in that relationship of where we present ourselves to Him. We present our lives to Him. We present everything that we possess. And we surrender it back to Him because of what He sacrificed and gave up for us. And I believe that He just wants to refresh that this morning on the inside of our hearts. That our lives are not our own. That we weren't just put here to enjoy things for ourselves. But we're here to enjoy Him, to know Him, to love Him. And He's made that way possible. Holy One, we are grateful for Your love. I don't know who needs to hear it this morning, but God likes you. He doesn't tolerate you. He loves you. He enjoys you. He cherishes you. Lord, we thank You for that this morning. Lord, that there isn't one person truly alone, because, Lord, You live on the inside. Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will be quiet in His love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy." I think at times He also quiets us with His love. Quiets the storms in our hearts, knowing that it's all going to be okay. And we can emphatically say that this morning with no shadow of doubt. It is going to be okay. No matter what situation, no matter what circumstance we're facing, no matter the torture potentially that the enemy would want to throw at us, the pain in our hearts, all of that, the Lord wants us to know this morning, it's going to be okay. Because our situations and circumstances changing, if they're fully surrendered to Jesus, it's not dependent upon us to make it happen. Because because we can't do it in our own strength. Believe me, I've experienced some of that recently. Try and do everything that I can. And I found myself, and the Lord brought me to a place where I couldn't do a thing except lean on Him and trust Him. And He has that available to each and every single one of us. And in those moments where my flesh and my emotions and everything was saying, it's not okay, He says, I got this. It's gonna be okay. You'll get through it. Nobody else in our lives can actually do that except Jesus. He is the faithful and true one. And what I love is the faithfulness and truth of Jesus in people, in those that He brings around us.
One other short verse and we'll partake of the elements. First Peter 4, it says, therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose. Because the one who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human lusts, but for the will of God. And further down, verse 7 and 8, it says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. And above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the multifaceted grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the actual words of God. Whoever serves is to do so as the one who is serving, by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So that's all to say, it's going to be okay. He'll get you through. And if that's your heart and the position of your confidence, then you're able to pour out into the lives of other people around you what God has given to you in those moments. And then that's the way that we build up and support and love each other. Because the only way that any of us are here this morning, the only way that any of us are where we're at in our relationship and our walk with the Lord, is because of what He did for us. And so we're going to celebrate that this morning. In Jesus' name. So, Lord, we thank You for Your body that was broken for us. We thank You, Lord, for Your blood that was shed for us. And, Lord, we partake freely and willingly. And we believe as we do this morning, Lord, that we're declaring it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. Because we're exchanging our weakness for Your strength, Lord. In Jesus' name. seal this time, Lord, this aspect. We seal it, Lord, with your blood and with your word, with your spirit. And Lord, we're excited about what you're doing in our lives and our hearts. And Lord, in the nations. In Jesus' name. Amen. Troy is going to have some wonderful Ghana updates for us.
With that segue about the nations, how could I not? Be free. Or be behind, whatever you prefer. So we have some updates from Ghana. Our team was traveling yesterday and today from the north to the south. So I believe they arrived. I believe they arrived around 9 or 10 this morning, and they went to church to minister, and they're ministering. They were a little bit ago ministering in Accra at Life Christian Center at the main branch of Life Christian Center. So very exciting. I don't have any pictures of that, but I have a few pictures of this last week. If we want to pop those up there. It's been an incredible week. We could do the video first. It would be great, this video. It's just, I believe it's a part of one of the sessions of worship. And it's just incredible. Is that it? After this one. Okay. How about this one?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Yes. Hello.
Love
from
you.
Northern Ghana, our ministry base here in Northern Ghana. It's been a tremendous time up here in the north. Many people have been saved, healed, and delivered. We believe that the Kingdom Bible School was awesome.
The presence of God is so strong here. We're so blessed. Thank you all for praying for us. We're together in this, and we love you and miss you. Behind us is our cashews. So our cashew farm is everywhere. And so if you can see them, you can pray for them as well. But we're so blessed because so many people have been touched by Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
See you. See you.
Bye.
And our cashews behind us, the cashew trees in the land. Awesome. So, yeah, if you want to, do you want to play the other video then, Andy, or? Worship team. Awesome. A little bit of worship there. And that open air structure is where we typically have the Kingdom Bible School and the church right there in Saula meets. So in this picture, they were showing the film Magdalena. There's Jesus on the cross. And afterwards, I believe the next picture likely has Pastor Bill just kind of sharing a word and just calling people into, how did they put it? A lot of people were responding to Pastor Bill and having a message after they were calling on people to bend their knees to Jesus, which we are all called to do. And obviously, Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat and Pastor Samuel's on the other side. And in the middle, it's not Jose, Pastor Jose. It's not Ose, can you see? That's actually Ose, who has been our contractor there in the north. And so he's the general contractor for our building. So it's he's been working with us for years now, and Ose. So all right, next, Pastor Samuel here imparting to at the Kingdom Bible School and sharing. I love that pulpit. That's a pretty cool pulpit. But Pastor Samuel releasing time impartation, and this here is the prodigal son being demonstrated by our team. But I think, please don't take a picture of this, because there's a superhero that's being revealed here that you may not see. If you zoom in a little bit, I don't know if you can do that, Andy, but someone's got a cape on. And so, Darlene, is there something we need to know about? There's Secret Life of Carl Maxfield, the superhero. So I don't know if he's the innkeeper. I don't know if he's the Good Samaritan, but he's got a cape. So just thought I'd point that out. And then Pastor Mary Pat here is just calling people into the power of the cross and the resurrection, and many either giving their lives to the Lord or going deeper in their walk with the Lord, surrendering their lives more fully to the Lord. And that is the brief update. I believe they are coming back Tuesday morning. Not I believe. They are coming back Tuesday morning. 10:14 Cleveland Airport. I believe they'll be sharing with us, I'm sure, next Sunday. So, Cynthia, turn it over to you. We had a great time last night with the Game On with the youth. Go Game On. You have to talk to them if you want to hear anything about it. But it was a really great time, so we're excited to see what God continues to do with that. There'll be future times coming. Those dates are not set.
And I just want to talk to you about the greatest time of the year. Chris, I won't do the song, though. I wanted to just highlight the first three events that are coming soon to us for December, for Christmas. The first one being Saturday, December 2nd, is our gift to Christmas. So that is in moving in full force. And so we are still obviously needing volunteers the day of for shopping or for dinner time or all day. Volunteers for helping prep, that kind of all the good stuff that happens. We've been confirmed at the retailer that we're going to, so they're getting ready for us. The shelter leaders have confirmed they're ready for us. So everybody's ready for us. So we need to get ready for them. So that is happening. There's some paper sign-ups for all those old schoolers like me that like to sign on paper. And then links are going to be coming to you for the three events that I'm highlighting today. So you, if you're more the online type person, you can sign up there and then we'll consolidate the information. And part of getting ready for Gift to Christmas is obviously our donation room that we typically transform back here into. So if you have gently used goods, or if you want to donate something new, by all means, we are starting to collect clothing from baby to adults, shoes, whatever. And you can come, and we're going to make a designated area back here in the overflow room where you could put your stuff. So we're starting that in-house, and then we'll go from there as details are being hammered out with the donation room situation. Amen? So give to Christmas. Mark it down. Be prepared to share Jesus on December 2nd. I mean, there's drama, there's dance, there's all kind of good stuff. So again, we're doing our best to get word to you as things are being confirmed. And so look for those wonderful texts that you guys love getting from me. I know it. I feel it every time I send them. I know you're on the other side saying, yes, another text from Cynthia about stop. So I know. So then on Sunday, December 10th is our community Christmas outreach, or the Cookie Caroling outreach as we all know it, where we have lunch here after service. Then we go out to an area in our community where we sing Christmas carols and we offer the message of Jesus through prayer, through conversation, through smiling and just sharing the joy of Jesus in the season. So that's going to be Sunday, December 10th. And then on Saturday, December 16th, we will be having our Frontline Christmas party. And this year, Mike and Joe Wheeler are going to be hosting. So we will be there. That will be Saturday, the 16th at 5:30. So again, there'll be sign-up sheets, both online and on paper. And, you know, be prepared to bring a side dish, a salad, a dessert that you want to share, how we always do it. Bring good stuff to share, and we'll be able to celebrate together for Christmas. Yes and amen? All right, don't forget, it's the greatest time of the year. we are going to now transition, and we'll release the kids to Kingdom Land. And then this morning, we have the awesome privilege of listening to the other side of the McCrae family. Jamie is going to be sharing with us this morning, so get ready. There's fire in her belly.
Let's just clarify. Awesome. Well, children, you're released to your classes, right? Yeah. And the youth. Yeah, thank you for that. Awesome. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Bear with me for a moment. All right. Just kind of not switching necessarily, but transitioning from motherhood. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence in this place. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you, Lord, for all that you desire to pour out this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Just pulling a couple of things up. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your nearness to us, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just take a moment and just still your heart before the Lord. Thank you, Father. Just kind of silence all the racing thoughts or anything that would be a distraction right now. Just lay them at the feet of Jesus. They can wait. Yes, Lord. Just center in on his love, on his goodness, on his mercy, on his faithfulness. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Breathe on us right now. Breathe on your children, Lord. Thank you, 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 Jesus. We're really good at rushing to the next thing, and that's not a bad thing. Just saying that sometimes we can be like that, and sometimes we can just wait and be quiet, not talk. Our questions lose their need in the presence of Jesus when all we see is him. So go ahead. I gave you permission. He gives you permission to just lean in. Lean in. Just be still. Your presence is everything to us, Lord. Presence is everything to us, Lord. And we just lay ourselves open before you, Lord. We open our hearts before you, Lord, to have your way in our hearts, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your precious blood. Thank you for your precious blood that was spilt for us, Lord. Thank you for making a way where there was no way. Thank you for reaching out your arms and saving us. Thank you for your delivering power. Thank you for your healing. Thank you for your care for us, how you hold us in your hands. And you take care of all of our needs. Even when we don't think you are. You see everything surrounding us. You look at the circumstances. And you say, I'm God. I'm big. I'm powerful. I'm the God who was. I'm the God who is, and I'm the God who will always be. So we humble ourselves, Lord. We humble ourselves before you to be teachable, correctable, willing. Thank you, Jesus. We humble ourselves before you, Lord. And even a fleeting thought that might come that would say, this is not productive. Oh, it's productive. One look at you, Lord. One look at you. One look into your eyes of fire. One touch from your hand. We are undone forever. That's all it takes. But you didn't die for just a touch. You didn't die for just a flash in the pan, Lord. You died so that we could have all of you. All of the time, everywhere we go, Lord, you died so that we could have all of you. All of the time, everywhere we go. And that is more than enough. And all that we need, Lord. And we have the indwelling of your very spirit on the inside of us. A very present help in our time of need. A teacher we can go to. A counselor we can ask for direction from. A comforter we can lean into. My God, we're so grateful. We're so grateful, Lord. We're so grateful. We're so grateful, Lord. And we thank you, Jesus, for all that you desire to speak to our hearts, all that you desire to do in us, for your glory, for your name's sake. Thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name. We bless your holy name. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So, pocket right here. just before we dive into what I trust and believe is from the Lord this morning, I've just been pondering about, I think we've all been pondering about life. Everything going on around us, everything that we see unfolding in the nations and history being made, and the Lord's heart just beating for the lost and what he wants to do in his church. And I know that there's two things, at least two things I feel like are happening right now. And one is that many believers are being pulled away or being lured away into humanistic philosophies and the spirit of this age, basically replacing themselves as God and deciding, you know, what's true and what's not true, and, you know, falling into deception. And then there's something else so beautiful that the Lord's doing in the church, where he's refining his people and he's calling them into deeper repentance. We can't, I know that word can feel like it's like a buzzword for us, like, ooh, but he's just calling us into deeper repentance. All that means is that we're turning to him. We're turning to him. We're turning to him. We're turning away from what pulls us away. We're turning to him. We're turning away from sin. We're turning into him. We're going to the cross. We're going to the cross. And it's so deep and it's so good. So what I'm going to share this morning, I have to just tell you openly, listen, I don't have this down. And I'm like, Lord, what? This seems kind of strong, but I can tell you that I feel like this is a daily thing that he's doing in my heart every day. And so I'm really excited, because I think it's a message for all of us as brothers and sisters in Christ, where we can honestly just say, God, how proud you are of us and how much you love us, that you want to pour yourself out without limit, without measure. And you want us to see you rightly. And I want to receive that morning from his word. I want to receive that this morning from his spirit. And I love when he speaks. I love when he moves. I love when he shows us something that we wouldn't otherwise be able to see unless he's like, put your nose down into the paper, put your nose down into the book, and see what I'm saying. I want to show you what I can see. Like Mike was talking about last week with the eagle that soars so high to a vantage point that none of the other birds have, none of the animals have. It's a vantage point, and it's just a picture, a symbol of the godly perspective that he has, that we oftentimes fall short of. But he's not mad at us. He's just saying, come up higher. Go down lower so you can come up higher where I am. Amen. So, thank you, Lord. We're going to go into Luke 1 here in a little bit. But some of the questions that came to my heart and I was asking myself and before the Lord is that, have we ever been asked to do something impossible? Has God ever asked us to do something that didn't make sense to our minds? It didn't make sense to our wallets. It didn't make sense to our time, our schedule, our family. And I think that all of us can agree to some measure, to some degree, the answer is yes to that. And many times we demand answers, or we demand an explanation from the Lord before we give him that yes, before we trust him, instead of just willingly submit and say, you've got this, I guess, okay. Show me more, Lord. Show me more. And we're going to see the contrast between Zechariah and Mary in Luke 1, how the approach, the response, when the Lord released the good news to the earth of the coming of Jesus Christ. And I think other times when the Lord asks us to do something impossible or when he asks us to step into a place of really depending on him, really, really, totally depending on him, that we reason ourselves out of that still small whisper that we initially hear, and we convince ourselves to follow what makes sense to us. And we confuse the comfort we're in, we confuse it for his peace. And it's really just religious thinking and pride, and it's parading around as wisdom. So the reason I say to you, I don't have this, is because I'm like, that's for me, Lord. You're speaking to me. You're taking us to a deeper place of depending on you, trusting you, so that we can do the greater works that Jesus talked about, that Jesus commissioned us to do. In Luke, or I'm sorry, no, we're not going there yet. But in Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 9, the Lord says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours. And my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." And he's inviting us into this process of purifying those questions, purifying the hesitancy, purifying the place in us that wants to have control, wants to take the reins, and just say, "But can we just do it this way, Lord?" And it can be half in and half out. And he's wanting to purify us, bring us to a place of, "God, just have your way. Have your perfect way. Have your will." We sing it, we pray it. He taught us, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven." If we just pass by those words, just like, whoop, let them go out of my mouth, and doesn't mean anything, and not realize what we're actually praying, what we're actually asking and petitioning the God of heaven and earth to do, we can miss it. We can miss the opportunity. We can miss the invitation. And the funny thing is I laughed with God about this, is that we can be really susceptible to thinking that his way looks a lot like our way, right? That would look like a lot of different paths, wouldn't it? It's not many paths that lead to one. It's like, this is the way. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." And I've got another version here for you that I like how it unpacked it. And it says, "So above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life." One more, or two more. "Trust in the Lord completely." No. Yeah, keep going to Proverbs 4. Was that the only one I had, I guess? Mm-hmm. Okay. "So above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life." Be careful what you're believing in. Be careful where your mind wanders to. Be careful, because that is going to become, it's going to go from here to here and become the reality in your heart. And he's saying, be diligent in guarding your heart so that you don't veer off from this. In Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6, and we'll add 7 to that. We know this one is famous. We probably write this in birthday cards, or, I don't know, graduation cards, get well cards. But it's, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight." Trust in the Lord completely, and don't rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision that you make. In the Amplified Version, "Trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight or your understanding. In all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize him, and he'll make your path straight. He'll smooth and remove the obstacles that block your way. So don't be wise in your own eyes. This is verse 7. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord with reverent awe and obedience, and turn entirely away from evil. In the NLT, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. In the Message version, last one, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. So he's saying, don't rely on your own understanding. Don't confuse what makes sense to you with my will and who I am. And I think that the sad thing is that was the danger, that was the place that Eve stepped into in the garden. And I was thinking about this and thinking about the perfect holy unity of the Trinity in the garden that Adam and Eve were enjoying way, way, way at the beginning. And when Satan came to tempt her, he tempted her in the context of the goodness of God that she was already living in every day. When he came to question the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? And he's saying, did God really say? Well, back up a little bit. The context that she was in already was, there were no rules. She didn't see it as a rule. There was nothing out of place. It was perfection. It was good, the goodness of God. It was the glory of God. It was the faithfulness of God. It was the nearness of God. It was walking with him in the cool of the day. And it was, there's a tree over here, Adam and Eve. Don't go over there. Okay, God. Why else? Why wouldn't I trust you? This is pretty simple. Until Satan comes, until he comes in, and he speaks one word, and he says, did he really say? Is he really good? Does he want to withhold something from you? Are you sure about him? And then that thought goes in, that seed goes in, and it poisons her heart, and you know the rest of the story. And so I'm thinking about that. My God, that's why you say, don't rely on your own understanding. Know that I'm good. Know that I'm perfect. Know that I'm holy. Know that I'm in charge. Know that I'm in control. Know that I'm the God of heaven and earth. In Luke chapter 1, this is where I'm headed to. I was reading that earlier this week. I was asking the Lord, what do you have for all of us? What's on your heart, Lord? And so I just heard him speak to go to Luke 1, and I'm like, woo, Christmas message. And that's usually what, you know, it's where the angel Gabriel comes, and we're going to learn about the miraculous, you know, birth of Jesus. But I want to take a look at what's happening here and what's unfolding. And in verse 8, we're going to start here. Oh, you know, we're going to start in verse 5, actually. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. Verse 8, now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing to the right of the altar of incense. An angel appeared to him. Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him immediately. But the angel said to him, don't be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. So before we go any further, this is the angel Gabriel. This is the angel that brings the messages. He's like a sentinel angel. He's a watchman. He's a messenger. And he's been waiting throughout history to finally come and bring this news to Zacharias. And he was there in the beginning when he saw Eve take the fruit, when he saw Adam take the fruit, and when God sent them out of the garden. He was there when the Lord, you know, he laid the expanse of the skies. He was there when he breathed life into their nostrils from the dust. He was there with Moses when he you know, took his staff and he spread the Red Sea for the Egyptians to walk through. He was there, and he's seen all of these breakthroughs in the earth. He's seen the faithfulness of God. He's seen the Lord waiting and watching and leading the Israelites people out of one place of oppression after another. His heart was for his people. His heart was to set them free. His heart was to see them come into a place of holy communion, a place of where one day they're going to marry the Lamb, Jesus. So all throughout time, I can just imagine the angel Gabriel sitting on the edge of heaven. Are we going to go now, Lord? Are we going to go now, Lord? When are we going to do it? Who is it going to be? Who's going to be the forerunner for Jesus? Who's going to prepare the way? Who's going to bring a message of repentance? And then here comes Zacharias and Elizabeth, and the Lord's, all right, buddy, go down and tell him what's up. Tell him what's going to happen. And so the first thing is that he brings, it's not just the good news of who John the Baptist is going to be, but it's that you're going to have a baby. The thing that was on your heart, the thing that you petitioned me for, the thing that you've been longing for, I'm going to bring you a son, not just a child, a son that is going to bear your name. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. And the second thing is about who he's going to be. Why is this so special? Why do I need an angel to come tell me what's going to happen? Because he's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He'll be great in the sight of the Lord. He will not drink wine or liquor. And while he's in the mother's womb, he's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Number three, and he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. He's going to have a message of repentance, Zacharias. He's going to have something special upon him where he's going to pave the way for something coming behind him. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. The same guy that called down fire in front of the prophets of Baal and confronted Jezebel, he's going to carry that kind of anointing. He's going to be one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And he's going to be filled with the Spirit and power to turn the hearts of their fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So he starts out with the good news of this beautiful baby boy that you're about to have, you've been waiting for. And then he says, oh, by the way, he's going to have a pretty big assignment on his life. And the angel Gabriel's standing there, you know, next to the altar of incense in the temple, and there's Zacharias gripped with fear. And he's like, did it. God, I did it. I sent the message. And then the human reasoning kicks in, and Zacharias says to the angel, how will I know this for certain? I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. So reason and doubt and questioning the will of God. You sure about this? And I love the response of Gabriel. Why do I love it? Because I would love for him to respond to me in a situation like this where I'm gripped with fear and I'm looking at a crazy circumstance or I'm looking at an impossible situation and I have all the questions for God, but he's like, well, hold on, wait a second. And the angel Gabriel doesn't explain anything about anything that he just asked. This is how he responds. He says, I'm Gabriel. Like, do you know who you're talking to? Do you know who you're questioning? I stand in the presence of God. I've been around for a long time. And he sent me here to speak to you, Zacharias, to bring you good news. And then we know what happens. And he says, behold, you're not going to be able to talk for 9 months, by the way, until you see the fruit of this promise come to pass, until you see what I just spoke to you happen. And I think you'll learn a thing or two, because you didn't believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time, by the way. When is she going to get pregnant again? Well, in the proper time, when it's God's perfect timing. Okay, I'm very challenged by that. I don't know about you. So the people were waiting for Zacharias. They were coming out wondering what's happening, and he can't talk. He's trying to wave his hands around and signal, and they're all like, well, he obviously encountered something. He saw a vision. And then he goes to Elizabeth. Elizabeth finds out, and she's excited. She's going to be pregnant, but she kept to herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, this is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men. And this next one, it's not to say, well, we're human. I mean, what would you expect? But let's look at how Mary responds. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God. This is the big one. This is the big one, Gabriel. You're about to come to the earth, and you're going to give a message to the mother of Jesus that is going to carry the Savior of the world. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. He's with you, Mary. But she was perplexed. She was perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Now catch this. Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I'm a virgin? She's not questioning what the angel just told her. She's a virgin. So the way I look at that, at least the way that what the Lord showed me was, her response was, okay, how will this, meaning, what's the next step? I'm a virgin. You're going to do this? Well, what's the next step? Are we going to, like, speed up a wedding here or what? And it's, I mean, it was an honest question, but it wasn't from a heart of, oh, how dare you? You don't know where I've been. You don't know what's been on my mind. You don't know the things I've been through. You don't know what's pulling me back. You don't know how this isn't going to work. Have you seen? Have you factored in some of these things, Lord? She's like, why are you going to do this? What's next? What's the next step? What can I do now that you've given me the most amazing message ever, that I'm going to carry the Savior of the world? And the angel answered and said to her, oh, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. I know this is like not quite like this. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, Mary. And for that reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. Oh, and behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. Wow. For nothing will be impossible for God. I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I've come to bring you good news. Nothing's impossible for him, Mary. Only believe. And Mary said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord. I'm yours, Lord. Whatever you want, wherever you want, however you want. It's not do this and her. It's like asking somebody to jump. And she says, well, how high do you want me to jump? Not, well, Susie over there has really great running shoes and she can do it really well. No, You're asking me, Lord. You're asking me to step into something impossible that I don't understand. The Holy Spirit overshadowing me. But I'm just going to sit and wait and watch what you do because I'm not in control and you are. Oh, Gabriel must have been so excited with her response. I can only imagine being one of the angels of God, being one of his servants, and coming down to the earth to just a place where he might have been perplexed at the human race and wondering, why are you choosing them, God? But nonetheless, obeying the will of God and coming down and giving this beautiful message to Mary. And he says, and she says to him, behold, the bondservant of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. And that was it. And the angel departed from her. And as I was thinking about that, not to be casual and say it like that, but my heart was so wrecked. I really wanted to put myself, because I'm like, oh yeah, I can definitely identify with Zacharias on more than one occasion. And I'm sure that all of you can too. I can also identify with Mary's heart though. Her heart that she just wants to please the Lord. She just wants to obey. She just wants to follow his voice. She just wants to lean in a little bit. She just wants to trust whatever he's going to do. But I can understand Zacharias too, who's just like, but you, God, I've waited a long time. I've waited a long time. Do you know how old she is? Where have you been? I've been in the heavens watching all of this happening down here. And if you were to fast forward and any of us were to ever stand before God, where have you been? What? Come on, Lord. And he points to the cross. That's where I was. That's where I've been. And I think that all of us that have those questions on the inside of us, have that those reservations on the inside of us, have those things that grip us with fear, that the Lord's like, just chuck the questions. The weight that they have in our minds and our thoughts and in our thinking, just lay them aside and trust in me. Trust in me. And as a mom of four, and as somebody who's like, I want to commune with Jesus. I want to love to spend like 2 hours just in his presence on my face crying before him and just saying, I love you, I love you. But, you know, you're waking up in the middle of the night, you're changing diapers, you're chasing a toddler who just doesn't listen all the time. You're helping a 5-year-old with a school project and you're kind of teaching a 9-year-old something else, I don't know, under the sun. You're supporting your husband and everything the Lord's called him to do. And I have a lot of questions. It's like, but he's like, no, just trust me. Trust me and obey my will for your life. I love this. I love this. I love how in Scripture, I think about the widow with the issue of blood, how for a long time she suffered with this flow of blood that she had no control over, the hemorrhaging that Scripture says she has, and she suffered with it for 12 years, spent everything that she had on doctors. None of them could help her. And in fact, the Bible tells us that it actually got worse. And she's like, what? I can't imagine. But when she heard about Jesus, the Bible says when she heard about Jesus, she got close to him. She pressed in through just a multitude of people that were all, you know, in this big crowd, like a mosh pit or something. I don't know. If you look at the different gospels, they all kind of describe it differently. But the disciples at least, you know, said, everyone's pressing up against you, Jesus. But she leaned in. She pressed in. She got on her, maybe even on her hands and knees. We see all sorts of depictions of this, right, in like Jesus films and whatnot. But she presses in to Jesus, the only one that it's like, this is my last hope. I don't know what else I'm going to do. And she says, if I can just touch the hem of his robe, if I can just get to him. And as soon as she does that, out of everybody that's pressing around with all of their needs, with all of the things that they're coming to him for, be it the Pharisees who are just ridiculing him for who he was, or the poorest of the poor who are just like, oh, this Jesus, he hasn't answered all my problems. This woman was pressing through. If I just touch the hem of his robe, I don't have to talk to him. I don't have to tell him what's happened to me. I don't need to describe how hard it's been. If I just touch the hem of his robe, if I just lean in and I press through all of these people, something is going to happen. And that was the beautiful faith that Jesus then turned around and he's like, who touched me? And the disciples, like you and I, would be like, what are you talking about? There's people all around you, Jesus. They're probably trying to get him from one place to another because they're like, you know, his armor bearers, like, let's get this, you know, people flock to him everywhere we go. Because everyone's pressing around you, Jesus. But he says, no, no. I felt power come out of me. Who touched me? And we know what the Bible says. She's hiding somewhere and, you know, doesn't want to be seen. But he turns around and he looks at her. He goes, your faith has made you well. Your faith. Your faith, Mary, that's why I came to you. That's why I sent the angel Gabriel to you, because I have favor on you, because I see you and I know your heart. At the widow or the woman with the issue of blood, you have faith. Go and be well, be healed. And at that very moment, not one more drop of blood came from her. She was instantly healed. And so I'm looking at all of this. I'm laying it before the Lord and I'm so touched by his goodness and his faithfulness, but I'm also really challenged to step into a deeper place of, Lord, purify my heart, purify my thinking, purify what I think I know about you. Or purify me when I'm standing in, you know, with everything going on around me, and I think that I have figured you out, how you work. Oh. And I oversimplify the God of the universe. Or I'm on the other side of things and I'm accusing him of being unjust and unfair. Neither is good. He's just saying, trust and obey. Stand in the place where you, where you're just crying out to me and you're laying your life down. You're surrendering everything. I know a lot of this sounds so cliche. We hear this a lot in church. But it's still the message that he gives us in the word. It doesn't change. The Bible has never been rewritten. So it's either this book or we're going to figure out something new and we're going to veer off. But I believe the Lord's just hedging us back in, bringing us back in. And we're all different in here. We all have different stories. We all have different circumstances. We all have different situations. But the God is the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And the message is still the same for all of us. So as we close, we've got 10 minutes left. As we close, I actually want to invite us. We're going to play some music in the back. And I want to give us just a couple of minutes right where we are to present ourselves before the Lord. And it doesn't have to be dramatic. It's just like the stillness that we had at the beginning of the message. And just tell him, Lord, you see, and you know what goes on up here and what's in here. You know what's before me. You know what's around me. You know that I'm just dust. So take this heart and offer whatever he's showing you right now, offer that to him. You can go ahead and play this song, Andrew or Rach. Offer that to him. And as you take just a few moments to do that, we're going to also pray for one another here. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for speaking to us through your word. I thank you, Holy Spirit. You're so wonderful. You are so wonderful, more than we can imagine. More than we can imagine. Ephesians 3:20. He can do above and beyond anything we can ask, think, or imagine. Because he is an unimaginable being. He's unfathomable. He's wonderful. He's good. He's long-suffering. He's patient. He's kind. He's faithful and true. This is our God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. We offer ourselves to you. We lay ourselves down to you, Lord. Listen to your voice. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And I know for me, the Lord took it even just a little bit further when he was challenging my heart personally. He's also saying, don't judge how I do things. Don't criticize how I do things. Don't get bitter at how I do things. Don't get offended at how I do things. Because it's not how you would do them. Offer that to the Lord. Down, Lord. We lay our lives down before you for the deep purification that you long to do in our hearts. We give them to you, Lord. We take our mind, Lord, and we receive the mind of Christ, the mind of Christ, the thinking of Christ, the opinions of Christ, the mind of Christ, the thinking, the thoughts of Christ, the opinions of Christ, the insight of Christ, the understanding of Christ. We take that, Lord. We receive that this morning. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Just go deep, Lord. Not just for today, Father. Keep pouring yourself off out beyond today, Lord. Beyond today. I want you to find somebody that's not your spouse or a roommate if you have one. I want you to find somebody in here. I don't care if it's somebody next to you or if it's across the church, the sanctuary. Just find somebody right now, and we're just going to pray. We're going to stand. We're going to support. We're going to encourage. We're going to sing spiritual songs and hymns like the Word tells us to do. We're going to edify each other, and we're going to pray for one another right now. So just find somebody. You guys can go ahead and stand up. Somebody that you don't, maybe like not a relative. Find somebody that you just don't. Not a relative, not a spouse, not a roommate. Just as we finish up here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your body, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the unity, Lord, that you're deepening, Father, that you're securing in this place, Lord. Start here with us before we could ever pray it for the body at large. Start here with us first, Lord. Knit our hearts together, Father. As we look to the cross, as we point each other to the cross, as we point each other to the empty tomb, as we point each other to the God of heaven and earth, who was and is to come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You don't have to ask what their prayer needs are unless you're led to. Just begin to declare and decree who the Lord is over their life. Declare his names. Decree his, like Pastor Bill says, his 700 wonderful names and titles. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Pray out the reality of the cross, the reality of the finished work of the cross. Pray out the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus over their family, over their children, over their wife, over their husband, over their school, over their business place, over their neighborhood, every place that their feet tread. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Knitting our hearts together in love. Yes, Lord. We bear one another's burdens, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for John 17, unity and love, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Officially 12:30, so if you're finished, you're more than welcome to move on if you'd like. But if you're in prayer and you want to continue, by all means, continue. If you need any additional prayer, I'm happy to agree with you in prayer. Father, we thank you. We seal everything in your blood this morning. Your beautiful words of encouragement and truth to our hearts. We bless your holy name. We bless your holy name. We bless your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord.